Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Friday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in over 97.9 The Hill or streaming us through chapelboro.com to help wrap up your week and get into the weekend. We've got lots to catch you up on this 5 o'clock hour. You are going to want to stick around for our Stroman on Sports segment at 5:30 as we welcome in Dr. Deborah Stroman. We begin, though, with some updates on the state level, particularly on COVID-19 vaccinations in North Carolina. We saw just a slight increase this week, according to North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services. Providers reported administering just more than 31,000 doses of vaccines to residents. Now, this comes ahead of the first Your Shot at a Million drawings in North Carolina. That is the coronavirus vaccine lottery set to be held next Wednesday. Four North Carolinians who have been vaccinated will be drawn to win $1 million throughout the summer, the first of which will be announced on June 23rd. With three other drawings coming in July and August. While the program aims to boost vaccine participation, Orange and Chatham counties are toward the top of the state in vaccination rate, but that does still leave thousands of residents who have not gotten their shots, both in our community and in the rest of the state. 97.9 The Hill spoke with Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard during this week's Chatham County Roundup about vaccine participation and this lottery. She said she is optimistic that the lottery will be an effective incentive to raise vaccination rates in her own community.
I hope it does. I've heard chatter about it, so I am hopeful that that will make a difference and matter to people. I've spent my lottery money. I've never actually bought a ticket, but I've spent lottery money over and over again. So just the possibility of winning might be enough to encourage someone to go out and get that vaccination. You know, I think of this like I think about parenting. When I didn't have kids, I was a super parent. I knew exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And my kids were going to eat all their vegetables and not complain and follow every rule. And I was just going to have to, you know, encourage them. And then reality hit and it didn't work out that way. And I think that's exactly where we are. We set out with best of intentions, lots of information, created lots of opportunity for access to vaccinations, tried to make it as easy as we could for people to get the vaccination and to get the right information. And now reality is hit. And there are some people for whom that still isn't enough. And all of the little things and big things that we can do to make it easier for those people, to encourage those people, to convince them. So talking to friends and neighbors and family members who have not gotten vaccinated, to tell them what your experience was like and to tell them you've done it and why you've done it. All of these things matter. And certainly, having the opportunity to win money isn't going to hurt.
Once again, Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard speaking there. If you want to check out that full Chatham County Roundup conversation, head to our audio archives on chapelboro.com. Part of that talk was, of course, about Juneteenth events happening in the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Chatham County community. And we've got several of those happening tonight, including a virtual kickoff featuring a panel of local artists, leaders, and more that is coordinated by the town of Chapel Hill and Carrboro. There's also a book talk that is set to be held at Flyleaf Books tonight as well, beginning at 7:30. And on the holiday itself, lots of events in the community. Carrboro community members have planned an educational bike ride for younger folks through the North Side District beginning at 9 tomorrow morning. While there are motorcades that are going to be going through that neighborhood and through the Rogers Road community scheduled to begin at 4 p.m. There's also a march planned in Hillsborough for Sunday. That one is also set to begin at 4 p.m. starting at the Margaret Lane Cemetery. Now, not too far from the Margaret Lane Cemetery rests a historical marker that community members may not realize the significance of. And Saturday actually marks the 250th anniversary of recognizing this. Regulator Remembrance Day commemorates the killing of six men in Hillsborough accused of a crime they did not commit. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach shares the history.
On June 19, 1771, six men were accused and convicted of high treason against King of England George III following the Battle of Alamance. They were executed in what was then the outskirts of Hillsborough. This event later became commemorated as Regulator Remembrance Day. Local historian Scott Washington said the men were denied counsel, legal fairness, the ability to call witnesses, and appeal sentences. Washington said families of the men were also denied the ability to claim their bodies afterward.
Starting in that time, just like we do when we see terrible tragedies, when people put flowers down, they started coming to the site where these men bravely died, and they started leaving flowers.
Washington said the process of leaving flowers happened informally for years. But in 2013, he said he began a modern version of the Regulator Remembrance Day. This marked the 50th anniversary of Colonial Dames of North Carolina installing a bronze marker to educate people of the history of the site. Saturday's 250th Regulator Remembrance Day will take place at 6 p.m. at the 1771 Regulator Marker site located in Cameron Park behind the Orange County Board of Education building. During the event, speakers will provide additional historical context, including staff from the Alamance County Battlefield in Burlington. The names of the men are read and a bell is tolled. Descendants of the Regulators are invited to lay flowers. Washington said the public is invited to bring flowers as well.
It's really an opportunity for people to see this site, to really be at a site that has been marked by simply people coming to the site for so long. And I think that makes it one of the great moments of history.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukaj.
And to wrap up this segment, more news from UNC's campus as fallout does continue from the controversy surrounding the lack of tenure granted to incoming journalism professor Nicole Hannah-Jones. We've learned today that Kia Caldwell, who is formerly a professor of African American and Diaspora Studies at Carolina, has been named the Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs and Diversity at the University of Washington in St. Louis, meaning she is leaving the university and is the latest of faculty to do so. We heard of two other professors who are also leaving earlier this week, and it comes at a time where even more could be following them. We heard from the UNC Black Caucus this week that 60% of its membership is actively searching to leave UNC, and they cite the treatment of Nicole Hannah-Jones as a big part of that reason. The Board of Trustees still having no word on whether it will consider granting Nicole Hannah-Jones tenure like other people who served in the night chair positions in the UNC Journalism School did when they first arrived to Carolina. And now time for a look at some sports news from around our community. Aaron Mattson of the UNC field hockey program, star player, has already accumulated a list of postseason accolades, but she earned another one this week, and it is a major one. The National Field Hockey Coaches Association announced her as the winner of their National Player of the Year award, marking the second consecutive season Mattson has been recognized with it. The junior from Chadsford, Pennsylvania, led Carolina in scoring this year with 29 goals and 9 assists over their 20 games and helped guide the team to a 19-1 record through this season. Unsurprisingly, Mattson played a major role in UNC winning their third consecutive NCAA championship this season, as she was the one who scored the overtime game winner in the title against Michigan. As a result, she has racked up many postseason honors as well. She won the Honda Sport Award as the nation's top field hockey player, earned a first-team All-American spot, and was the ACC Offensive Player of the Year. Oh, of course, she was also the MVP of both the ACC and the NCAA tournaments, and as an added bonus, she was named an Academic All-ACC Performer this year as well. Speaking of those academic awards, continuing to see them come out for some other programs as well, sophomore defensive specialist and libero Karenna Wool was selected Thursday as UNC's lone representative on the Academic All-ACC volleyball team, and first year Nicole Adams and junior Jennifer Zhu are members of the women's golf Academic All-ACC team as well. Speaking of golf, pretty amazing feat happened today on the UNC Findlay golf course that we have been keeping track of. Frank Maynard, the head professional at the golf course, was playing a golfing marathon today as a fundraiser for the organization Folds of Honor. At about 2:47 this afternoon, he sank his 99th hole of the day. He started out on the green at about 5:30 this morning and got through 99 holes in about 9 hours and 2 minutes. And he's not stopping there. The UNC men's golf program tweeted out a video of Frank Maynard hitting that shot and then said he looks like he is going to try and keep playing for another 27 holes to get in 7 full rounds of golf as he continues to try and fundraise for Folds of Honor. Sounds like they've raised close to $15,000 for three scholarships through those efforts. So congratulations to Frank. Fun to follow that great effort out on Finley Course today. Moving on to some pro sports news to wrap us up here. Carolina Hurricanes head coach Ron Brind'Amour signed a three-year contract extension with the team. And then hours later yesterday, the NHL named him Coach of the Year. Finally, Durham Bulls pitcher Tyler Zombro shared a public update on his health for the first time since being hit in the head with a line drive on June 4th. He shared photos of his head where some surgery was completed and said he is continuing his recovery at Duke Hospitals, but also posted an encouraging video of him walking with very little support from nurses. Great to see that. Great to hear from Tyler Zombro that he is doing better, and we certainly all wish him a speedy recovery. Some more news to catch you up on. We learned yesterday that Joel Brown is set to be the newest district court judge in District 15B, which covers Orange and Chatham counties. Governor Roy Cooper appointed her on Thursday to fill the seat of Beverly Scarlett, who retired from the bench in March. Brown currently serves on the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education, which she won election to in 2017 after having served a little bit, filling a vacancy beginning in 2015. CHCCS Superintendent Dr. Naya Hamlet told Chapelboro in a statement today, quote, "While we recognize Joel is the absolute right choice for her new role, we are sad to lose such a strong advocate for children. Joel is a courageous and dependable voice in our community, and we wish her the best as she expands her service to the district court." The high-profile Aura development saw support from the majority of the Chapel Hill Town Council earlier this week, but it didn't reach the threshold needed to fully approve the project when it came to votes. That means it will come back before the town council for another vote next Wednesday. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger was one of three council members who voted against the project Wednesday night. She spoke with 97.9 The Hill and said she still has remaining questions about the traffic and stormwater mitigation that could result from the development. Hemminger said with her lived experience along Estes Drive, she's unsure about the safety of the road once more updates come to the popular street.
For me, it came down to pedestrian safety. We're putting in these multimodal paths, these bike lanes, and I know how people fly in and out of the driveways on the school siding and probably Aura with the left turns and people coming in and out of there. I'm really, really concerned if we don't have a traffic light and we don't have a guarantee of that traffic light, that someone's going to get hurt as people are trying to get in and out quickly as the traffic situation. People don't always act the way a model says they're going to act either. So I've seen people speed along Estes Drive. I have huge concerns. And then the frontage on Estes Drive of this project is not really within context of the rest of the street. So that for me was concerning. If that context had been on MLK, I would have felt a lot more comfortable. But again, there's a lot of positives with this project. I made long list of pros and cons and what do we really expect to get here. I do like it much better than a proposed just big old apartment Texas donut style building there. I think that this is a better project than that.
Once again, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger speaking there. The Aura development will come back ahead of the Chapel Hill Town Council at their business meeting scheduled for the 23rd, but they will be holding an additional specially called business meeting on Monday, the 21st, to review three concept plans for potential developments in the community.